Come on, City First, if you're excited to be alive, can you give Jesus one big praise?
Amen and amen. What a good day to be in the house of the Lord, City First, anywhere, any campus that you are at. What a phenomenal series we've been in together. Questions Jesus asked, because how many know when Jesus asks a question, he always is ready to give an answer that moves our story forward. Amen? Amen. Hey, today I want to take a look at a passage of scripture that's found in John chapter 5 that'll get us to the question that Jesus asked that we are going to look at today. John 5, scripture tells this story right here. It says, sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, here's the question Jesus asked, do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? Today's conversation that we're going to have is based around this question Jesus asked right here. Do you want to get well? What you'll find here in John chapter 5 is that Jesus is making a journey. It's actually a familiar journey for him, one that he would have made not only once a year, but multiple times a year during his life, passing through a specific spot in the city known as the Pool of Bethesda. Scripture here is very clear to tell us who is around the Pool of Bethesda. Those who are lame, those who are paralyzed, those who have issues. Scripture calls our character in the story today an invalid. This is someone who would be disabled, lying on a mat. You would find him, his mat would indicate, as you and I would recognize today, like a handicap sticker and a handicap parking spot. And so for 38 years, this man has been in this handicap space, in this handicap spot for 38 years at the Pool of Bethesda. It's important for us, knowing the setting in which this is taking place, to establish that the Pool of Bethesda, historians say, was a place that may have had medicinal resources available for those who got in the water. Some historians even say that an angel would come down and stir the waters, troubling it so that whoever the first person was that got in the water would be healed. The Pool of Bethesda had five different covered colonnades, scripture says. The picture behind me here will show you the Pool of Bethesda. It also has what I like to call five diving boards, if you will, that people would be able to move from where they were into the water to become healed. And whoever was in the water first, it was the hashtag best day ever. However, scripture is very clear that this specific invalid has been in the same spot at the Pool of Bethesda for 38 years. Bethesda's name is actually comprised of two different names. The first name, Beth, the Hebrew word Beth, means house of. This man being in Bethesda is in a spot known as the House of Mercy. You'll see the Hebrew word Beth used throughout scripture in a few different places. Genesis 28, Jacob calls a place where he builds an altar, Bethel, the house of God. Bethlehem, that we see in the New Testament, known as the house of bread. On this day, this specific man is at a pool in a city known as the House of Mercy. However, for 38 years, he has been in the same spot looking for that mercy. John 5, around verse 6, scripture says this, that when Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a what? Long time. In other words, Jesus did a little research on this gentleman right here. Jesus went about the community, maybe went around the pool, maybe went around to the different folks that may have known this guy. Tell me what you know about this guy. Tell me about him. What can you tell me about him? How long has he been here? How long has he been in this situation? Has he gotten any closer? Has there ever been an almost where he's almost gotten in the pool, but not? He asked a lot of questions about this guy to find out information about him. And in this, he finds out this man has been in the same place, doing the same thing for 38 years. Now, I pause right here, and just at the risk of putting myself on Front Street for a moment, maybe this is why I'm in therapy. I struggle with some things that don't change in 38 seconds. You thought I was going to say minutes. No, no, no. I'm a little bit more dysfunctional than that. 38 seconds, let alone 38 minutes, let alone 38 months. This gentleman has been in the same scenario for 38 years. And he's got a goal. His goal is to get in the pool. His goal is to get in the water. His goal is to become something other than what he's become before. This is no different than you and I in this room and watching City First anywhere. We all have goals. Some of us have relationship goals. Some of us have financial goals. Some of us have spiritual goals. We all have a goal. We're all trying to move the story forward in some area of our life. This gentleman had a goal of wanting to get into the pool to be healed. However, he'd been stuck in the same spot for 38 years. And Jesus walks up to him and asks this one question. Do you want to get well? You ever read something in scripture before and you just, maybe it's the human side, steps back and go, hey, Jesus, can you read the room for a moment? This guy's been in the same spot for 38 years. The obvious answer to this question is yes. But how many know Jesus doesn't just ask obvious questions? He's not concerned just of what goes on the surface. He's trying to get where? To the root. And he asks this man, do you want to get well? Because how many would agree in this room and watching City First anywhere that sometimes getting well sounds good in theory, but it's a lot easier to make excuses than it is to make progress. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were just relationship challenges, and so, you know, going straight back to your, do you want to get well? Yes, Pastor, I want to get well. Cool, you might want to stop texting him. Somebody's like, preach, Pastor, come on. I know. They were like, forever? I was like, do you want to get? You know, financial goals we want to hit, that must mean that at some point, some of us are going to have to stop buying a couple of sneakers. Yeah, I know. That hurts me too. Yeah. Do you want to get, well, spiritual goals? I want a deeper relationship with God. Cool, you might have to wake up earlier. I'm going to have to give up some sleep? Yeah. You might just have to stop hitting snooze for the fourth time. Do you want to get well? See, what Jesus understood about the invalid that he was speaking to in that moment is that not only were they by the pool hoping to get in the water, they also resolved themselves to a certain way of life that would include begging. And they would, from time to time, move not only from where they were, but to a different space to be able to continue to collect funds to be in the lifestyle that they have become accustomed to. Dare I say, comfortable. However, life has taught all of us that you can't have comfort and change at the same time. So when Jesus asked this question to this invalid man, do you want to be well? What he's putting in front of Jesus is that or putting in front of this man is that if you become well, you might have a not only a change of health, you might have to have a change of lifestyle as well. Can I say it like I'm in 2024? Brother, you're going to have to get a job. Here we go, because progress of any kind in any area of your life will require effort. For the believer and follower, we understand this, and I'd love to reiterate today that Jesus has already done the heavy lifting for us. Came, died, rose again, coming back with all power in his hands. However, there is a level of effort that we are going to have to put in to experience God's best. Faith without works is dead, and works without faith is pride. Progress of any kind in any area of our life will require effort. I was in a conversation with a gentleman just recently who came in to get some pastoral insight on a specific area of his life. And when he walked in, I'm very clear with people when they sit down with me that I am not a therapist and I am not your counselor. Number one, I don't have a degree for that. Number two, I don't have the patience for that. I'm here to help you find one healthy next step so you can move your story forward. And he sits down and he pulls out his phone and he goes, Pastor, I have got a list. I said, baby, we cooking with fish grease now. Here we go. The next phrase out of his mouth, though, was, Pastor, this list is what my wife gave me. It's the stuff she says I need to fix. I'm not going there. I'm going to keep moving. I said, well, out of that list, what are the things that you say you need to fix? He said, none of them. Which I said, I told you I'm not a therapist. Why are you here? He goes, my wife said I should come. Can you feel the temperature rising? Come on. Blood pressure. Here we go. Heartbeat. Heart rate. Check. I said, brother, what are you willing to do? And he looked back at me with all seriousness. And he goes, I don't know. Can I pause right here just for a moment? And remind most of us and introduce to some that if we're going to see God's best in our lives and through our lives, it's important that we take every intentional and healthy next step to know exactly what we're looking for and exactly what we're willing to do. Because God is not our genie in a lamp. Rub the Bible, get three wishes. No. He's here to supernaturally strengthen us to do the things that he has given us, here we go, the ability to do. Do you want to be what? Do you want a healthy marriage? Do you want to be a healthy parent? Do you want to be an impactful father? Do you want to have a healthy influence on the office that you're a part of? Do you want to be a life-giving educator? Do you want to be well? John 5 and 7 says, the man then responds to Jesus in this moment. He says, sir, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else always goes down ahead of me. You ever been in a spot in life before where it seems like everybody's always ahead of you? Like you see their marriage and then you see yours. You see your house and then you look at theirs. You know, you see their car and then you look at yours. You see their educational endeavors. You know, they graduated in 4 years. You're six in and still 12 credits shy of graduating. You ever been in a spot before where people just seem to be ahead of you? This is where this gentleman found himself. He's having this conversation with Jesus. Notice, he never even actually answers Jesus' question. Do you want to be made well? Well, every time I try to get in the water, somebody else gets in before I do. He didn't even respond to Jesus. He just gave his reasons. I got to be honest with you. I level with this guy as a human in this moment because he goes, I don't have anyone. There's some people in this room watching City First Anywhere. You would say that's your story. Right now, I don't have anyone. I don't have anyone to call for encouragement. I don't have anyone to grab coffee with and just laugh. The people I had, they're gone. I've been in this spot for a while, Kyle. I don't have anyone. That's why we create vehicles here at City First, like life groups and community. Because it's not God's desire that anyone would have that story of, I don't have anyone. No, it's time to take a step. It's time to allow your life to collide with someone else's life. What if it doesn't go well, Kyle? Try another group. What if they're weird? So are you. And notice in the story, though, that Jesus doesn't even address his excuses. Time is always ahead, absolutely. No, Jesus doesn't even get time of day. Let me talk to the other side of the equation, because some of us don't have anyone. Some of us, we are the person that the person who doesn't have anyone needs. Can I pause right here and just go, make room in your calendar to be the person that the person who needs someone can find. I get it. We got different seasons of life. My wife and I, we raising 2 young kids, 8-year-old daughter, 4-year-old son. You ask me, Kyle, how much time you have? I'm in the negative right now. Yeah. But if I step back and I go, God, it's a priority to be there for somebody. It's a priority. God, how can I open up 20 minutes in my month for someone? Nobody's asking you to be a part-time counselor. Do you have 20 minutes in your month? You have a half an hour or 1 hour every quarter. Can you show up to serve day? Just for an hour. To be the person that the person who has no one needs. Find a need and meet it. Find a hurt and heal it. Be like Jesus. I'm in this scenario and everyone, they go down in the water ahead of me. This guy is just like you and I. We're so wired to see others' success while focusing on our own clear failures. It's so easy to see the strengths of others and the weaknesses of ourselves. I enjoy social media, but let's be honest, in an unhealthy way, social media, man, no one ever posts their lowlights. I don't either. Somebody's like, why, Pastor? Because they're low. Gained 17 pounds in the last 48 hours. Hashtag, I love donuts. Nobody's doing that. It's always like, day 75, 75 hard, yes. One of my friends said, hey, are you going to do 75 hard with me? No. They're like, why? I like donuts. No. You got to be so careful. What do you give the most volume to? The voice of your failures and weaknesses or the voice of who God calls you? Because this man was so focused on, if somebody else gets in the water before me, somebody else, I don't have anybody. Kind of sounds like Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh. I'm dating myself a little bit, but come on. But here, Jesus doesn't entertain the excuses. He doesn't entertain the reasons. He doesn't entertain anything. He just looks at the man and says, "Get up!" Kyle, why are you yelling? Because it's got an exclamation point. Get up! Pick up your mat, the thing you've been on for 38 years. I always wonder why Jesus wants him to take his mat with him, right? Because I mean, you've been on that thing for 38 years. That thing does not smell like Febreze. Moms, you ever been in your kids' room before, especially your 6th, 7th, and 8th graders? And you see some dirty clothes, and normally you wash them, but today they're going in the trash. Come on, they just, Yep, that's probably what that mat was like. But why would he carry the mat with him? Because Jesus knows that the mat is actually a ministry. Wait, what? Yeah, the thing he used to be on is now the thing he carries with him, which instantaneously gives him a message. Look at the miracle. Y'all know where I used to be. You know where I used to lay. You know how I used to sound. You know what I couldn't do. But then a man walked up to me and said, "Get up, grab your mat, and walk." And I was healed, and I picked up my mat, and I walked. Now I got something to say about the Jesus I found, all because I got up off of my mat. I just came to encourage somebody today. Today is your get up day. Today is your get up day. Today is the day that you decide that I'm not going to lay down where I've always laid. I want to be well. And Jesus in John 5 is the same Jesus of 2024 that says, today is your day to get up. Get up through negative emotions. Get up through family of origin challenges. Get up through struggles and addictions. Get up through things that have happened and pain and things that have been piled on you from decade to decade. It is time to get up, not because those things don't matter, but because of who is telling you it's time to get up. His name is Jesus. He speaks through his word and by his spirit. And today is the day to get what? Up. Just look at your neighbor next to you and say, get up. Wrong neighbor. Look behind you real quick. Tell him, get up from where you've been to where Jesus is calling you to. Here we go. John 5, verse 9. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath. And so the Jewish leaders said to this man who had been healed, it is the Sabbath, the law forbids you to carry your mat. But he, the healed man now, replied, the man who made me well said to me, pick up your mat and walk. So they asked him, who is this fellow who told you to pick up your mat and walk? And the man who was healed had no idea who it was because Jesus slipped away into the crowd that was there. This guy gets healed on the Sabbath. A little bit about Jewish culture at that time. They had a set of rules that they lived according to, over 600 of them. Just so we're clear, that's where they lost me, right there. Nearly 40 of the over 600 were applicable to what could and could not take place on the Sabbath, the day this man was healed. There was rules on what you could carry, what you couldn't carry, and how many steps that you could take. And who was doing the inventory? The Jewish leaders. Church folk! Can I stop for a moment and talk to my church folk? We gotta be so careful that we don't make it hard, not only for people to get to Jesus, but also to remember to celebrate the miracles and the miraculous moments that are happening. 250 people have been baptized here in our church. 70 kids have said yes to Jesus with their life. Just so we're clear, you're looking at someone who gave their life to Jesus at 4 in a life-giving ministry like what's provided here at City First. And through the struggles that life brought, and through the dumb decisions that I made as I grew and tried to go from being a child to a man, I found that same Jesus I gave my life to at 4 walking with me at 14 and 24. And 34 years later, he's still with me. We just got to make it. Just can't make it so hard. Because if we're honest, sometimes people don't have a problem with Jesus. They just got a problem with Jesus' people. Sometimes we just, can I just be honest for a moment? Sometimes we make it hard. You got saved. You ain't supposed to say that anymore. They might. And it reminds me of this story. I'm a pastor's kid, second generation pastor, grew up in church, right? I went to one of those churches that you had a pre-service prayer, during service prayer, post-service prayer, Friday night prayer meeting, intercessory prayer. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay, cool. A little Pentecostal, so we're clear. Yep, come on. Somebody will land in the carpet. Don't get them up. Let the Lord do what they do. Come on. Let the Lord do what he does. Let him do what he does. Mm-hmm. So we had pre-service prayer one day, and I was in the prayer room, because you don't do pre-service prayer in the sanctuary. You don't want to scare the first-time visitors. That was a joke. I thought it was funny. Okay, cool. We're in the prayer room, and there's this prayer circle that's going on, and all the church leaders are in the prayer circle, and I got two younger brothers, and so we're the pastor's kids, so we're in the prayer circle too. And we invited someone new into the prayer circle, which was not new, but this person was new to the prayer circle. In the same way that the pool had rules, the prayer circle had rules too. And so we invited this new person into the prayer circle. This new person's name was Tom. 6 months ago, Tom was on the street. Tom was addicted to alcohol and drank his career away. But when Tom found Jesus, Tom began to take one next step after another, and that started with coming to church and allowing Jesus to help him where he was. 6 months into the journey, Tom got invited to be in the prayer circle. And the prayer circle rules were everyone in the prayer circle has to go around and pray. It doesn't matter how long your prayer is, doesn't matter how pretty your prayer is, but everyone in the prayer circle has to pray. And so we had the deacons and the deaconess and the pastors and the church mothers, and we had everybody in the prayer circle, and it got to Tom. And Tom prayed with every fiber of his being and said, Jesus, would you heal this whole effing world? The church mother's eyes went. My brothers and I were like, best prayer ever. And the next Sunday, guess who was in the prayer circle? Tom. Because there's only one way that you get this, and there's only one way it gets through, is that someone has got to go, I'm going to make sure to notice the miracle that's happening and not be distracted because it doesn't fit how I want it to look. Yeah. So we got to be careful. We got to make space for people to go through the sanctification process. Just so we're clear, it's a biblical word that just means you've got to take one next step after another. And guess who's the one that saves you every step of the way? Jesus. Who went to find this guy? Jesus. Who talked to the community about him before engaging him in conversation? Jesus. Who helped the man more than anyone ever could have? Jesus. And he didn't do it from afar off. He got up face to face and close. Why? Because you and I are not interacting with a Savior that's just over in the corner of heaven somewhere waiting for us to get our act together before he comes and saves us. Romans reminds us, while we were still sinners, jacked up and missing the mark, Christ died for you and I, and he is coming to find those of us who need him to look at us in our face and say, it is time. Do you want to be well? Get up! My question for someone hearing this today, though, is you find yourself like this man, and you've waited long enough. The greatest thing you can do is what countless people in this room and City First anywhere have already done. Let Jesus into your present. The man said, I need to get in the pool. And Jesus said, I've come, I got living water. I don't have anyone. I know. That's why I came for those who were lost. Today is your opportunity. And the way you pick up your mat is to say, Jesus, I need you. I'm not perfect. Guess what? Everybody in this room and online, they ain't either. But many of us have made a choice to just invite the one who is into our lives. And he changes everything. You believe that this morning? Just a moment, I'm gonna pray a simple prayer of commitment. City First, I'm gonna ask you to pray this with me. And if you're in that spot and you go, I just want to invite this Jesus from John 5 into 2024 to be with me today and every day moving forward. As we pray this prayer, all you got to do is pray it along with us. And the Bible promises that if you believe in your heart what you're saying with your mouth, you will have this Jesus with you today and every day moving forward. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, let's just pray this out loud. Just say, Jesus, I need you. I've tried on my own, and I've failed. But today, I hand you my sin. I receive your forgiveness. I hand you my life. I receive your love. Be Lord of my life and King of my heart today and every day to come. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, put those hands together.
Wow, what a powerful message by Pastor Kyle Rogers. And hey, if you prayed that prayer to make Jesus the leader and forgiver of your life, we celebrate that with you. That's the best decision we believe you could make in your life. Couple of next steps that we have for you. Number one, we want you to tell somebody about it. Let us know. Drop it in the chat. Send us a message in the app. Let somebody that you're close to know about it. And the second thing is we want to get some stuff for next steps in your hands. So we've got a new Beginnings resource. If you scan the QR code on the screen right now, we can get that to you. It's also in the app. You can download it from the app. We'll send you a digital copy. Whatever it is we can do to help you take the next steps in your faith, we want to do that.
That's right. We also invite you to attend a Growth Track class. So Growth Track restarts at the beginning of each month. Yep. And guess what? Next Sunday is the first Sunday of July. So Growth Track is starting over. You can attend Growth Track in person or online. And it's a fantastic way to discover your divine design. And even some of the leadership skills that God has placed inside of you. It's all about understanding who God has created you to be. And so go ahead. You can hop on the app. You can jump on the website and sign up for Growth Track today. But it's about 4 classes, and it takes place in person or online. It's going to be a great, great time to jump in next week.
That's right. Also, if you need any prayer for anything going on in your life, drop it in the chat, send us an email, get on the app and let us know, click the prayer button and it'll come to us. Like I said earlier, we have a team of people that pray for these around the clock. We believe in the power of prayer. Also, we believe you need to get into God's word. We believe that is our lifeline. So we've got a what is it called? A reading plan.
Yeah,
in
the
our
daily
app.
Reflection.
Yeah, daily reflection
app.
In our app. Yep. And it's just a great opportunity to press the pause button in your day to day and go, okay, God, what do you have to say to me today?
That's right. And I love that the daily reflection that's on the app actually kind of talks through to some of the topics of the sermon that you heard today.
Yep.
So all throughout this next week, every day we'll kind of reflect back on a different point, a different topic that Pastor Kyle talked about today. So it's so significant. And it's like you can take 2 minutes, you can take 10 minutes.
Yeah.
It's just something to kind of get you filled up for your day. Well, hey, okay. We want to just say that we are looking forward to next Sunday. We've got Ryan Leake in the house with us.
Yeah.
We start a brand new series. It's going to be incredible, incredible time. So
excited.
Be sure. It's also Baptism Sunday.
It is.
It is a jam-packed Sunday. So if you want to take that next step and go public with your faith,
yeah.
Go ahead, hop on the app, hop on the website, sign up to get baptized next Sunday. It's going to be incredible. Hey, we're praying for you to have a great week.
Yep.
Have a wonderful 4th. We hope that you enjoy your time with your friends and your family. And it's going to be awesome. And we'll catch you guys next Sunday.